Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Lord's Day evening. And we thank God for His goodness and mercy in our lives, so that we could come together on this Lord's Day and worship Him, adore Him, and glorify Him, and now listen to His word. Morning, we listen to the importance of producing fruits for the glory of God. And if you don't give fruit, what would happen to that branch also? He will admonish and warn. So today we would like to focus on the ministry of the John the Baptist, the courageous, bold prophet who risked his life for speaking the truth, condemning the sin. So today, all over the world, we see faith is preached and proclaimed. You know, if you want to get anything from God, have faith in God, you know, faith. And so people are more concerned about the faith. And whatever you want to ask in faith, you shall be given. So people are more concerned and more focused on faith, forgetting about the other side of the coin, repentance. So when John the Baptist started his mission, he actually started the mission with the preaching, repent. So this is a strong word. Even Jesus Christ himself actually preached the same word, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So someone asked, for a person to be saved, is faith or repentance necessary? So can a person be saved by just trusting in Jesus Christ without repenting from his sin? Because repentance is an ongoing process, never-ending process in our Christian life. So we will keep repenting from our sins. We will be polluted, contaminated. We will commit various kinds of crimes, sins, and faults and all. So it's going to be there in our lives. So there's no end for that. So faith is a particular act, conscious act, by which we confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. He died for my sins on the cross, and he rose from the dead. On the third day, he's going to come back again. So, but the repentance, because how many sins I have to repent from? Because I would have committed so many sins, and every sin I need to repent from. Lies or cheating or, adultery or fornication or lust or pride or, arrogancy, so many things I have committed in my life. So I need to, only after finished repenting from all these things, can I believe in Jesus. So some people say, though, faith is the one most important than the repentance. Mm-hmm. But actually, faith and the repentance are inseparable in Christians' life. Because Jesus preached about repentance. John the Baptist preached about repentance. The apostles preached about repentance. The Puritans, Reformed people preached strongly about repenting from sin. So the chapter we read, actually Luke 3, 1 to 14, and you may read it from Matthew 3, 1 to 12, and also from Mark, you can read it, the parallel passages. So now what I would like to focus is, number one, the message of the John the Baptist, under the ministry of John the Baptist. Number one, the message of the John the Baptist. So he was the man who preached repentance boldly. And so his message was focused on people's personal lives, their private lives, their social life, actually. So he was asking people not just to believe in the kingdom of God, which is at hand, but also to recant, renounce, you know, repent from all sorts of sins in their lives, whether it is private or it's a public, actually. So, but interesting thing is, the gospel he preached, John the Baptist, and the gospel apostle preached are the one and the same. What did John preach? What was the John's gospel? John the Baptist gospel. Because when John was preaching, Jesus had not been crucified. Jesus was alive. Messiah had come. The Son of God, you know, tabernacle in the person of Jesus Christ. But he was not crucified. At that time only he started revealing himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. So, if John had asked the people to believe in, what would have been there? Because now he asked the people to believe in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sins. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Okay. But when John was preaching, it was not so, because Jesus had not died on the cross. So he was asking the people so to believe in the Messiah who already had come. The Messiah is yet to be crucified. So when he was preaching, so his preaching was a little different from ours. That is the reality. So he was preaching about the Messiah who is going to be crucified, who is going to lay down his life for his sheep. So he was asking the people, actually, it is very interesting. Mark 3, 2, it says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But, sorry, Matthew 3, 2. Mark 1, 15, Mark is adding one more thing, interestingly, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So Mark is adding one more word, believe the gospel. Not just repenting from sin, but having faith in the gospel. So at that time, John would have concentrated on the, you know, coming Messiah. So because Messiah was to reveal himself to Israel and to other people. So John was preaching about the coming Messiah. So the gospel he preached is little different from the gospel now we are preaching, actually. That is true. But even though the content is the same, the Messiah is at the center. You know, Messiah had come. Now Messiah, we preach the Messiah who was crucified. So John was preaching about the Messiah, about the Son of God who has come and who is going to die on the cross. Because he was the one, because in Isaiah, as we read, he was the one predicted, prophesied in Isaiah, that he will pave the way as a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ, actually. So Luke gave a lot of historical background when John was preaching, because Luke is a historian, we know, and it was the Bible is a historical book. So John was preaching in a particular context, you know, who was the Caesar, who was Pontius Pilate, and who was the Tetrarch, and all these things he was giving as a background, you know, and who was the high priest at that time. And the word of God came to John the Baptist. So his message, not only on repentance, actually we see he also preached in believing the Messiah, the gospel he preached was. So we cannot say actually that faith alone is sufficient for our salvation. So someone asked, Is faith alone sufficient for our salvation, or faith plus repentance? So it is inseparable, actually. It's the two sides of the same coin, because true faith produces true repentance, real repentance, and the fruits that are worthy of repentance. And true repentance shows that he has a real faith in Jesus Christ. So, in a sense, we cannot separate the faith, true faith, and the true repentance, actually. They always go together. If you really believe in Jesus Christ, then you will definitely repent from your sins. Then if you are not repenting from your sin, if you are not giving up your old ways, if you still continue in sin, then something wrong with your faith. Because your faith in Jesus Christ did not produce repentance, then something wrong with the faith. So actually, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we must have the fruits of repentance. Morning we saw in John 15, it is inevitable, indispensable. We must produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, fruit of repentance, when we trust Jesus Christ. And that is the real testimony. Because I was a Hindu, I was converted. So my father had he would, you know, cry, and you know, they were all kind of, I betrayed them, and you know, they were not happy with me, because we have been from generation to generation Hindus. But thank God, the changes, the fruits that the Lord produced in my life made them to think, no, he's somewhat different now. He's now totally a different person. He's as, you know, he was not actually. So then they saw the changes in my life, the fruits in my life that Holy Spirit produced graciously. And they said, he's a different kind of person nowadays, you know. He's not as he was actually. So that is the one of the, that's what John was stressing. If you really believe in Messiah, the coming Messiah, then your life will be changed. You cannot escape. Definitely, your life will be transformed. You will start producing, instead of those days, you know, in Isaiah, we say bitter fruits. We are producing bitter fruits in a decay, you know, spoiled. Now we are producing sweet fruit for the glory of God. So, John the message was on not only on repentance, but also believing in the gospel. So it goes always hand in hand. So faith and the repentance, because apostles also preached repentance. They did not just preach about believing in Jesus Christ alone. But in some circle, they only stress faith, faith, but they never talk about repentance from your sin, because the reason is they live in sin. So that's why they are not talking about sin. They are not condemning sin. They are not denouncing sin, because they live in sin. They support sin. They promote sin. But John the Baptist, he was a man of righteousness. He was close to God. He was living in close connection with God. And this man, bold man, he was condemning the world. Like, just like Noah, he was condemning the world by his act and by his preaching. So we should understand. So we should preach not only the message of faith, in the message of repentance. And every Christian must produce fruits worthy of repentance. People should know that this boy or this girl or this man or woman has repented from his sins thoroughly. He's now totally a different person. He's no more the same. So to that extent, God should produce abundant fruits for repentance. The fruit that would correspond our repentance. Rather than we say that I accepted Jesus, you know, a lot of time people give testimony. That's good. I don't deny that. But their life is not so sometimes. They are giving testimony, but their life is not in accordance with their testimony. So our life should speak, our fruits should speak that we have received Jesus Christ and He changed our whole life. So the repentance is very, very important. It is it's a conscious act, a deliberate thought that I have sinned against holy and righteous God, and I am a wretched man. I am worthless, useless, and I deserve nothing but hell. So I need to repent from my sins, and Lord, I repent from all my sins. So from the bottom of the heart, it should come through our lips. That's what Romans 9:10 says. So from the bottom of our heart, we confess, Lord, I have committed sins against you deliberately, consciously, or subconsciously, willingly or unwillingly, Lord. Now I repent. So repentance is also conscious, deliberate thinking, you know. It is volitional, it is emotional, it has got its willpower. Repentance is an intelligent one, an emotional one, willpower. The prodigal son, he thought, he realized he sinned against his own father. So he thought, he got up, he came to the father. He was remorseful, true. Not only he was remorseful, he got up. He acted upon his thinking. I sinned against my father. You know, it is not right. My father would be worrying about me. No. He thought, I sinned against my father. Then he acted upon that. He got up and he went to his father. So that is the repentance. Acting upon our thoughts. Not just thoughts. Thoughts level. So acting upon our thoughts. So that's what, so because that's, there is a difference between Judas and Peter. Judas was remorseful. Oh, I betrayed the innocent blood. But he did not repent. But Peter, when he denied Jesus Christ thrice, he wept bitterly. The difference between Peter and Judas, he was just remorseful, that's all. He didn't act upon his remorse. But Peter, he acted upon his follow. He realized, he understood, he comprehended that he denied Jesus and he started crying bitterly. So, the repentance, I would like to say, it is not just a remorse. Second thing, repentance is intelligent, emotional, and has the willpower like a prodigal son. Third thing, repentance and faith go hand in hand in true salvation experience. Okay. Right. And now we want to see something about in his message. Okay, before I come to that, now I am going to see the manner of his message. How did he preach? Actually, and he was wearing camel's cloth and eating locust, wild honey, like a barbarian, you know, uncivilized, uncultured. Suppose if he comes into our house, we would not let him also. He was a man who was living in wilderness. But his message was very bold, dynamic, vibrant, undaunted, unmitigated, uncompromising message. He didn't bother who it was before him. He didn't bother about the people. And he was, you know, we know he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was in mother's womb. A man who was filled with the Holy Spirit will not be daunted. will not fear any man. That's what, you know, those days Puritans and the Reformed people, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached the gospel toward repentance and faith. They condemned the sin. Nowadays, it's very rare in our pulpit condemning the sin, because we fear that people will be offended. They'll be hurt. Says, brother, don't preach too much harsh, you know. Don't preach too much. Don't touch that subject, you know. A lot of people are like this and all. So nowadays, people are, they were soft-pedaling, you know. You scratch my back and I scratch your back. So that's what, you know, that's what they are preaching today, actually. And actually, only very few people, very evangelical, conservative people, they talk boldly about sin and all, you know, the sins of the whole world. This, you know, this homosexuality and so many other things and all this, you know, gender problem, this and that, all. Only from the pulpit we can boldly preach so that people will repent. But we should not, you know, we should follow the John the Baptist, man undaunted, uncompromised. He's the man who never preached for money. He's the man who never preached for fame. The people who preach for money and fame and pomp, they compromise, they adulterate the truth for the selfish gain, for the ulterior motives, for the sordid gain. They adulterate the gospel, they dilute the gospel. The John the Baptist never diluted the gospel. He was preaching more powerfully, you know, just like his master. Okay, so his message manner, he was straightforward, actually, you know. And in one place, in one country, one preacher was preaching very strongly against sin. Then the army commander was there in that meeting, and he was preaching all against all sorts of sins and all. Then he got a note saying, "No, army commander is here, so please preach in such a way, you know, that, you know, you will not be offended, or, you know, please take care of that, because people like." Then, you know, after getting that note, he said, "Whether you are army commander or captain, I don't care, but you need to repent from your sin and accept Jesus Christ." So he was very bold. So we need to raise godly leaders who will preach against sin, who will preach about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So John the Baptist is the best example to follow, actually. So he's a man of courage, actually. And, you know, by condemning the sin, he actually risked his own life, you know, his story and all. Because he's a man who cannot keep quiet after seeing the wretchedness and the depravity and the sinfulness of the man. And so he started preaching against that. But, you know, someone said, you know, the greatest evil is not doing the evil, but keeping silence about the evil, you know. Someone said something like that. So we Christians should keep on preaching, renouncing the sin, asking the people to renounce or recant, you know. So John the Baptist, he preached powerfully about the message of repentance and all. Then, to whom he preached, actually? Number one, he preached to the public, you know, in verse 7. Okay. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" So when you address the congregation, when you start addressing the congregation, how would you address, ladies and gentlemen, you know, our brothers and sisters? Now he started his message, "O generation of vipers." It's very interesting. We would never do that. When we start our Sunday sermon, "O generation of vipers," morning sermon. Of course, all are sinners. All are depraved. So he didn't bother. He actually said, "O brood of vipers." You know, You are exposing the nature of their sin. You are poisonous. You are venomous. We seldom we preach like that. Seldom we hear, preaching like that. But you said you are venomous. You need to repent. Your heart is full of deceit. Not good. Not right with God. Bitterness, rancor, resentment, pride, arrogancy. Selfishness, lust, and you hate others. So he said, it's very difficult for us to. I never heard preaching. Someone started with, "Oh, generation of vipers, so brood of vipers," But he was, that is true, actually. Our heart is like that. You must accept our heart is deceitful and depraved. So not only that, it is very interesting. It is for the public he addressed that. Then the publicans. Second thing, he is addressing the publicans. They were doing extortion, misuse, and abuse of the power. Verse 12. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall I do? Okay. For the public also he condemned their sin, and for the publicans also he condemned their sins. And he is telling what should they do actually? And the soldiers then came. These are Gentiles, actually. These people are Jewish people. And the Gentile soldiers came. Verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. That means no bribes, no misuse of the power, no abuse of the power, no threatening, no violence. Okay. But interestingly, not only to the public, John the Baptist said, You generation of vipers, so brood of vipers, even to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Actually, it was recorded by Matthew, actually. Matthew 3:7. Actually, Matthew 3:7, he was condemning the Sadducees and Pharisees. It was kind of deadly, because the attitude of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were religious, top religious leaders. And to them, can you go and say to the king, you brood of vipers, or queen, or the prime minister? No, we cannot say. No, any bishop or archbishop or pope, So 3:7. Matthew 3:7. Many saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers. He did not lead even the religious leaders. Pharisees, scribes, were denounced by him. Because they were the one later killed Jesus. Venomous people, definitely. Poisonous people. They killed Jesus. Along with high priest. So without any fear, any hesitation, he was condemning them. The religious leaders, the political leaders. Actually, as Christian, do we do that? Do we condemn the sins of the prime ministers, or pope, or bishop? Or any kinds of religious leaders, Christianity, in Christianity. But the John the Baptist, he didn't bother about them, who they were. Because he knew all sinned against God, fallen short of the glory of God, whether king, or queen, or prime minister, or president, whoever it is, all sinned against God. So, those days, you don't condemn the religious leaders, political leaders. In India, what would they do? They will keep all the corrupted political, religious leaders on the stage, and they will ask these religious leaders to bless them. But the John the Baptist condemned and denounced them, that they must repent from their sins and to believe in Messiah. So that's what we need to preach. We should not be scared or fearful about anything. Of course, the reason is actually why people are reluctant to preach about sin is that they themselves may be wallowing in sins. But even after that, if they are still wallowing in sin, and if they preach about sin, that is real hypocrisy. Because if I tell lie and if I keep on preaching against telling lies, then I am one, number one hypocrite. Go. So that's where they start talking blessing, blessing faith, blessing, blessing. God is love, God is gracious, God is great, God is wonderful. Seldom they talk about God's holiness and righteousness, that we should tremble before Him, that we should give account one day all what we do and speak and think. We should have that healthy fear always before God. So here actually, the John the Baptist was advising them what should they do concerning their repentance. So repentance is restitution. You must give it back. You had taken two, one thing, the first one for the public, they say, you cannot be selfish. Whatever you have, you should be liberal and give it away. Don't keep on storing for yourself. You must be liberal. You cannot be selfish. So verse 11, he answers and said unto them, he who has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that he has meat, let him do likewise. So giving away. So he was condemning selfish lifestyle. Always mine. So when the genuine repentance comes, I will not be living for myself. As Jesus lived for others, I will be living for others. I will consider others first more than I. So that is the fruit of the repentance. Then for the publicans, he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. We know Zacchaeus, he was, extorting the money, and he was abusing his power. He was getting more money than he deserves, and he was getting some extra money. Then when Jesus came into his house, he was convicted. And he said, Lord, if we have taken anything, I would give fourfold and all. So that is repentance. He knew that he had taken, other things, by force. So misusing his power. Then the soldiers, he said, no more violence, no more abuse of power, no more bribery. Your salary is enough for you. And don't try to bring false witness against the innocent. You must drop it. Give it up, he said. So actually, repentance is restitution. We must give it back, whatever, wherever we want to give it back. Now, we had stolen before our salvation. We had stolen something from someone. Then we need to give it back. And if we had borrowed loan, from someone you would have forgotten, but you still remember that you owe, then you must go and settle it. So repentance is restitution. Whatever, in whatever way, if we have hurt others, if we have offended others. So the confessing is not only to God, even to human beings, our fellow Christians, against whom we committed sin. If we have offended by words before our salvation, then keep on, go house after house and ask pardon, ask forgiveness. You know, there are a couple of examples I would like to tell. The restitution. I had a lecturer in my university, Methodist Christian College. I was studying BSc Botany. He was a real man of integrity. So he was telling his own testimony. He was traveling without ticket for many years in the Chennai train, Madras train, because it's a, you know, crowded, always crowded. So people travel without tickets. Now he got saved. The Lord was speaking in his heart, you know, you traveled without tickets, you cheated the government and all. So it was very difficult for him. So once he repented from his sins, he decided, then he calculated how many days he would have gone without ticket, without taking the ticket. Then he wrote a check and sent to railway department with a note, "Sir, now I am the child of Jesus. I have repented from my sin. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He forgave my sins, but still I am pricked because I cheated the government. I traveled without tickets. To the best of my knowledge, I have calculated, and here's the check." And he gave, and they were almost fainted. So they never expected, and all, because he said that the Lord is asking me to restitute, you know, what I have done. I cheated the government. So in the same way, the other brother, he was working in a textile shop. So he was taking saris without the knowledge. Those days there was no CCTV camera. So he was taking saris. And now he got saved. Now the Lord said, "Hey, you got saved, you repented, but you stole saris from the shop. You must settle it." So he went to the, you know, the shop owner and said, "Sir, I am a child of Jesus now. I committed sin against God. Now I repent and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The Lord is telling me to settle this. You know, I have taken so many saris and here is the money," because they cannot take the sari back because once you go, "so here is the money, please take it." There are many things we need to settle in our lives. If we have offended someone, we have taken something from someone, we have borrowed, and the people would have forgotten sometime. But the Lord is reminding us. So that is the repentance, actually. Repentance includes restitution. As Zacchaeus said, "I'll give it back four times four." So that is also important. And repentance is restoration. We would have fought, I mean, we would have fought with so many people before our salvation, our relatives, our kith and kin, you know. We would have had quarrels and, you know, so many things. They may be unbelievers. Now you go and say, "I'm sorry, I offended you. I spoke badly about you. I spoke ill about you. I spoke lies about you. Please forgive me." And we had to go and tell. Suppose if we had told lies about someone, then we had to go and tell to others, "No, what I told was a lie. That is not true. I repent from my sin. So he's a genuine brother. He did not say that. He did not do that. I was the one, I committed sin against him. So please forgive me." There are many things in our life when we repent, we must settle it. So we have to examine our hearts. What are the things that God wants us to settle with our brothers and sisters? And the other one is repentance is retribution. A justice should be done. If I have done anything injustice to my brothers, sisters, then I must make sure that he will receive the justice. Okay. The other one is repentance produce spiritual fruits inevitably. Inevitably, through repentance will have its own fruits. If we don't have fruits of the repentance, then that means we did not repent genuinely. Our faith is not genuine. That's the only thing we can conclude. If a person says he has faith, he has repentance, then he must produce fruits worthy of repentance. No excuse at all. Morning also, we saw the one, Jesus will cut off the branch. He will prune and he will chastise. We will not lose salvation. The Christians, if you are not giving enough fruit as God expects, He will prune, He will chastise, He will make us go through some troubles or suffering, and He will finally produce fruits in us. So the ministry of the John the Baptist, actually, his message, his manners, and men of his message, he preached to the public, he preached to the publicans, he preached to the Gentile soldiers, and he preached to these religious leaders. All sorts of people, he preached the gospel. We also should preach the gospel. Educated, uneducated, men and women, you know, literate and illiterate, black and white and brown and yellow, all sorts of people, all kinds of people. Whether they are prime minister or president, or whether they are lay people or whoever it is. John preached the gospel to all kinds of people and asked them to repent. Whether king or whether the normal citizen, they all sinned against God and fallen short of the glory. They all need to repent. So we should keep on preach the message of repentance and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.